the supplication on Tuesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, and praise is His right, since Him deserves it, abundant praise. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of my soul, for surely the soul commands to evil, except as my Lord has mercy. I seek refuge in Him from the evil of Satan, who adds sins to my sin. I seek protection with Him from every wicked tyrant and unjust sovereign and conquering enemy. O Allah, place me among Thy troops are the victors, and place me in Thy party, for Thy party are the ones who prosper. And place me among Thy friends, for Thy friends no fear shall be upon them, nor shall they sorrow. O Allah, set right for me my religion, for it is the preserving tie of my affair. Set right for me my hereafter, for it is the abode of my permanent lodging. And to it I flee from the neighborhood of the vile. Make life an increase for me in every good, and death an ease for me from every evil. O Allah, bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and the completion of the number of the envoys, and his household, the good, the pure, and his household, the good, the pure, and his companions, the distinguished. And give me on the Tuesday three things. Leave no sin for me unless Thou forgives it. And leave no grief unless Thou takes it away. And leave no enemy. And leave no enemy unless Thou repelst him. By means of In the Name of Allah, the best of the names. In the name of Allah, Lord of earth and heaven, I seek to repulse every hateful thing, the first of which is His anger. And I seek to attract every lovable thing, the first of which is His good pleasure. So seal me with forgiveness from Thee, O Patron of Beneficence.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam deena.
In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. At this moment, at the beginning of this episode of today's special, I offer my condolences on the martyrdom anniversary of Lady Fatima, peace be upon her.
Daughter of the Nabi, Lady Fatima. Lady Fatima.
Today, Monday, is the 4th of Jamadi Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 29th of Day, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 8th of January, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. For this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio, we choose chapter Al-Insan from the Holy Quran, verses 8 and 9.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ويطعمون الطعام على حبه مسكينا ويتيما وأسيرا.
And they give food in spite of love for it to the needy, the orphan, and the captive.
إنما نطعمكم لوجه الله لا نريد منكم جزاء ولا شكورا.
Saying, we feed you only for the countenance of Allah. We wish not from you reward or gratitude.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
We understand from the verse that one of the best acts is feeding the poor and the needy, not only those of Muslims, but also the poor and the needy from other territories, and even pagans are included as a matter of the Islamic routine. It is so important that feeding them is considered one of the prominent good deeds of the righteous. And the occasion of the revelation of this verse refers to the famous story of the sacrifice of Imam Ali, Lady Fatima, Imam Hassan, and Imam Hussein, that they gave their own for 3 consecutive days to the poor, needy, and captive.
ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا يا فاطمة ذكرنا يا فاطمة فخرنا فاطمة.
فاطمية means to oppose the chiefs of oppression. One of the miracles of Sayyida Fatima, peace be upon her, is her spontaneously delivered sermon, the Sermon of Fadak. This grand woman, during that atmosphere in Medina, and shortly after the tragic demise of the Messenger of God, and all of the other heart-rending events which had transpired, delivered a sermon which is at the pinnacles of eloquence. The grandeur of Sayyida Fatima resulted in the fact that in that major historical gathering, in the Masjid of the Prophet in which she delivered this historic sermon, the masses were not able to prevent her from delivering her words, and it was as if the noble Prophet of Islam himself was present and speaking to the masses. In fact, many of the people present heard the truth being presented as they were by her and broke down in tears.
So Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam did have a backup plan, but they confiscated the land of Fadak from them. So here comes Lady Fatima alayhi salam. Lady Fatima comes forward after they confiscate this land. She goes to the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though she was in pain. Remember, Lady Fatima had just been attacked. She was in pain, but she went to the mosque. And she gave a historic speech called the Fadaki Sermon. My dear brothers and sisters, how many of you have studied the text of the Fadaki Sermon? Lady Fatima alayhi salam, that's her most important speech in history. We should be familiar with the words of this sermon, my dear brothers and sisters. It's a very important sermon. Last month I was in Houston. I met a sister who's doing her PhD here in America on the Fadaki Sermon. Can you imagine how significant this is? That here at a university, she's actually doing her PhD on the Fadaki Sermon. Study it, my dear brothers and sisters. It's fascinating, the eloquence, the logic, the philosophy, the depth. It's mind-boggling how she stands up to the truth. Look up the Fadaki Sermon. the Sermon of Fedek by Lady Fatima alayhi salam. Study it, my dear brothers and sisters. It will change your life, hearing these words from Lady Fatima alayhi salam. So she goes to the mosque and she gives an amazing sermon. If you want to know your belief system summarized, the rituals that we have summarized, why we pray, why we fast, why we go to the Hajj, why we give charity, what does it mean to believe in Allah? What sincerity means? Read the Fadaki sermon.
Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. Allahumma salli ala Fatimata wa abiha. وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك اللهم صل على فاطمة وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها بعدد ما أحاط به علمك.
Some parts of Fadek sermon: criticism against the treachery of men. Then you started to snatch the rights of others and enter the spring that did not belong to you. And you did all of this when not much time had passed since the passing of the Prophet, and the wound of his demise was deep, and the corpse of the Prophet was not even laid to rest in the grave. You acted very swiftly, dreading the outbreak of an agitation. Beware that they themselves have fallen into the pit of agitation. Surely into trial have they already fallen, and verily hell encompasses the infidels. What has happened to you? Where are you wandering while the Book of Allah is amongst you, whose orders are apparent and judgments are illuminated? Its emblems dazzling, and whose enjoyments and prohibitions are straightforward. Did you not leave it behind your backs and then turned your faces away from it in disgust and turn to something else for judgment? Evil for the unjust will be exchanged, and whoever seeks a religion order than Islam, it will never be accepted from him. And in the next world, he will be among the losers.
I wake up to find you have left, oh Father. My tears drip down and they flow like a river. Please come back, I ask you by our Creator. I have never been away from you ever. I miss your scent and kiss, O son of Haider. And my name is the sweet name of your mother.
Lessons from Lady Fatima, peace be upon her. Raise your children in the way of Allah. Sayyida Fatima raised Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein, Sayyida Zainab, and Sayyida Umm Kulsum to be leaders of Islam. Always glorify Allah. Sayyida Fatima would always glorify Allah by reciting the tasbih whenever she would perform the chores of the house. Treat your servants well. Sayyida Fatima, peace be upon her, always treated Sayyida Fizza well and took turns in performing household chores with her. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to take some lessons from the life and times and life experience of the Prophet Muhammad's daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha. From the lifestyle of Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alayha, it must be indicated that she was like an ordinary lady. In contrast to the daughters of great Persian and Roman kings and Caesars, who lived a very luxury life, the daughter of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is the Hazrat Fatima Zahra sallallahu alaiha, I mean her clothing, I mean her dresses were like the dresses of other common people of her time in Medina. And once Salman the Persian asked her about, I mean, why she behaved that way and not the daughter of a very high personality who's expected to live a very luxury life. She answered that, "Oh Salman, be careful, I mean, beware, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already provided for us much more other means of pleasure in the world hereafter. So it would be totally out of the question to be concerned with accommodations and means of pleasure in this world." And at the same time, we find that the personal life of Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alayha and her husband Imam Ali Alayhi Salam was like the simple lives of other people. Certainly at that time, at least in Medina, there were some luxury homes and luxury families. However, Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alayha preferred to live a very simple life. It was in this way that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed her. I mean, in one of the interactions, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam addressed her daughter Hazrat Fatima Zahra salamu alayha in that mararatu dunya bi halawat al akhirah, hardships in this world will be rewarded by sweetness in the world hereafter. And then Hazrat Fatima Zahra Salamu Alayha thanked God and appreciated all the divine favors and said, "Ya Rasulullah, alhamdulillah ala na'amaihi wa shukrillah ala ala'ih." O Prophet of Allah, thanks God because of his bounties on us, and thanks God because of all the favors he has had upon us.
That was all for today's special. Thank you for being with us. Dear Muslims, keep us in your prayer too. Fi amanillah.
Ya Fatimatu Zahra, Ya Bint Muhammad, Ya Qurrata Ayn Ar-Rasul, Ya Sayyidatana wa Mawlatana. إِنَّا تَوَجَّهْنَا وَاسْتَشْفَعْنَا وَتَوَسَّلْنَا بِكَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَقَدَّمْنَاكَ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ حَاجَاتِنَا يَا وَجِيهَةً عِنْدَ اشفعي لنا عند الله.
Food for thought.
Salam, dear listeners. And here is food for thought for you regarding the Noble Quran as expounded by Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace upon her, the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. The Quran leads its adherents to goodwill, and hearing it leads to salvation. With it are the bright divine authorities achieved. His, that is God's, manifest determination acquired. His prohibited decrees avoided. His manifest evidence recognized. his satisfying proofs made apparent, his permissions granted, and his laws written.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. One of the limited perfections that we as human beings can acquire in this world is the acquisition of noble traits. Again, it must be stressed that in the Islamic tradition, and especially in the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam, these traits have been mentioned, the signs of them have been mentioned. How a person is able to decipher whether a person has this or not has also been mentioned. It's the beauty of this school of thought, the beauty and the preciseness that different dimensions and angles and questions that might arise, even like I mentioned, in a general manner, has been answered by the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. Obviously, it's up to us who claim to follow them to not only know these things, but to also try and implement them and inculcate them and to actually make it part and parcel of our very existence. This is what is important. But we must also understand that we as human beings are beings that have a dual nature, meaning that we have a physical side and a spiritual side. And they interact with one another. So for example, if I do something that is bad with my bodily functions, it will affect me in a bad way spiritually, and vice versa. So this can be seen and can be extracted from this tradition from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, that there is a collaboration between our actions and our demeanor, our actions and our state. That our actions can define our state, especially the spiritual one. So Imam Ali alayhi salam is reported to have said that if you wish for noble traits, as we mentioned, that one of the things we can is noble traits, we wish for it, we want to become a person who is known to be generous, a person who is known to be kind, a person who is known to be pleasant, a person who is known to be patient, and so on and so forth. If you wish for these traits, not just to be called, but rather for it to be actually become a trait in you, as it means a malake in the ethical teachings, something that, you know, you just do naturally, then avoid the prohibited things. Because it is those prohibited things that will become a veil or become a wall and become a barrier between you attaining those traits. So we see that here sins themselves play a role in the trait that we attain. That those sins become a barrier and a blockage for us to attain those noble traits. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to attain those noble traits and also at the same time to refrain from sinning and from doing that which is prohibited by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more. No more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, Assalamu alaikum. In the new series of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, first we're going to have some quotes about the Quran by some Western scholars. Then we're going to listen to some verses of the Noble Quran recited by one of the famous reciters from around the world. After that, Brother Muhammad, the expert of Tajweed of the Noble Quran, is going to analyze the recitation. And finally, at the end, you're going to listen to a segment called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran by Brother Yasser Ibrahim. The audience, stay tuned. John Davenport has said in his book, An Apology for Muhammad and the Quran the following. In a literary point of view, the Quran is the most poetical work of the East. The greater portion of it is in a rhymed prose, conformably to the taste which has, for the remotest times, prevailed in the above portion of the globe. It is universally allowed to be written with the utmost purity and elegance of language in the dialect of the tribe of Quraysh, the most noble and polite of all the Arabs, but with some mixture, although very rarely, of other dialects. It is confessedly the standard of the Arabian language and abounds with splendid imagery and the boldest metaphors, and notwithstanding that it is sometimes obscure and verging upon timidity, is generally vigorous and sublime, so as to justify the observation of the celebrated Goethe, that the Quran is a work with whose dullness the reader is at first disgusted, afterwards attracted by its charms, and finally irresistibly ravished by its many beauties. Now let's listen to the recitation of Suratul Kahf, recited by Sheikh Hamdi Zamil.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran on IRIB English Radio. And you just listened to verses 109 to 110 of Suratul Kahf, recited by Sheikh Hamdi Zamil. Okay, now we want to analyze this recitation in terms of the rules of tajweed. Okay, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Verse 109. Qul law kana al-bahru midada. Qul law. We have idgham of mutamathilain here. A lam sakina that merges into another lam. So the first lam is not pronounced. The second lam is pronounced with shatta. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ. The ra in al-bahru has tafkhim because the ra has a dhamma. مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ. We have idgham of nun sakina into the letter lam. Bila ghunna. Midadan likalimat. We don't say midadan. We don't nasalize the lam because lam is not one of the letters of Yarmalun that should be nasalized. So there is no ghunna or nasalization. The nun sakina is not pronounced. The lam is pronounced with shatta. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي رَبِّي. The ra has tafkhim because ra has a fatha. رَبِّي ra ra. The mouth is full when pronouncing the ra and it's inclined upward instead of downward. لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ. Again, the ra has tafkhim because the ra has a dhamma. لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ قَبْلَ قَ قَبْلَ. The qa has tafkhim, the ba has qalqala. Now, Shaykh Hamdi Zamil, he said, قَبْلَ أَن يَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي instead of تَنْفَدَ. And this is the riwayah of Khalaf an Hamza, who reads tanfada yanfada. And also, there is no ghunna of the ya. So Khalaf does not say ayyanfada. Khalaf says ayyanfada without the ghunna. وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا قُلْ إِنَّمَا. Now here we have sect. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ يُوحِي. We have إِمَالَة. يُوحِي إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Now this is the second sect. إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. Sect means you hold your breath for split second, and then you continue without taking a breath. And it occurs whenever there is a sakin letter followed by a hamzatul qata. And you have to stop on the sakin letter for a split second and then continue. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعْبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And finally, we have tasheel of hamza at the end. رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Where we don't pronounce the glottal part of the hamza in khalaf an hamza, but in hafs we would say ahada. And that's it for today's program.
Dear audience, now it's time to listen to the final segment of the program called Attractiveness of the Noble Quran. We invite you to listen to Brother Yasser Ibrahim. He's going to tell us stories of those whose lives have been changed by the Noble Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Another great story that we learn from the Holy Quran, or rather from a verse of the Holy Quran, that
the verses of the Holy Quran even affect the heart of the most hard-hearted of individuals. That somehow the light of the Holy Quran can even penetrate the darkest of hollow chests. In the story that we will recite in this episode, or will mention, we see that one of the worst rulers ever to take the seat of the Islamic government, namely Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi, was a tyrant, and was a person who was an enemy of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And brothers and sisters may refer to the history of this individual. But yet, in this story, it is seen that one verse of the Holy Quran, recited by a child who was not even baligh, was not even at the age of responsibility, affected him so much that it actually caused him to do something. This story reported or has been narrated in the book of Irshad of Daylami, that a young boy who was 7-8 years old went to Hajjaj ibn Yusuf al-Thaqafi and said to him, "O Hajjaj, O ruler, O Amir, my father passed away when I was not born, and when I was just an infant, my mother also left this world. I had nobody with me. I knew nobody. No one was close to me. I was all alone, and I had to depend on myself. But one of the things that I was left was a piece of land as an inheritance from my father. And this is something that I used to do, and it kept me alive and it kept me going. But a person who does not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nor does he fear your whip," this is important here, that he doesn't fear the hereafter, "nor does he fear the punishment of your government, has come and has usurped this land. So I ask you, O Amir, to help those who are being oppressed under your rulership, to help me out." And then the young boy recited this verse of the Holy Quran, where he says, "Yawma tajidu kullu nafs ma amilat." And he recited this verse of Surah Al-Imran, the 30th verse of Surah Al-Imran, where he says, "The day when every soul will find pleasure whatever good it has done, and as to whatever evil it has done, it will wish that there were a far distance between it," that is the sins, "and the person himself." On reciting this verse, Hajjaj, changed. He got extremely affected. And this young boy's speech and power of presentation affected him so much that, first of all, he ordered that this land that was taken from him to be returned back to this young boy. And secondly, those people who were the grammarians and those who were recited poetry around him, he was so affected by the grammar and the power of speech of this young boy that he removed all of those who were around him in terms of the poets, the grammarians, and those who were, had good speech and so on and so forth. So here we see that even the verses of the Holy Quran can affect the darkest and the most, evil of hearts. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And you can also visit us on our website, that is parstoday.com. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is Call of Islam Radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye. ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق فيه محاسن الأخلاق والقرآن.
The Ocean of Dua.
أسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear listeners, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Rarsi, and we're gonna be with you with another edition of The Ocean of Dua. In this version of the program, inshallah, we will discuss the true meaning of prayer and dua, the value of prayer, ways of reaching the Almighty Allah, acceptance and also benefits of dua. So stay with us.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa ajjil farajahum wa al'adahum ajma'in.
Dear brothers and sisters, in the previous program, we concluded that as the Holy Prophet ﷺ says, we have to love Allah wholeheartedly. And in this way, the sincerity in love for Allah will be created. And His love becomes the only thing which is occupying the heart of the servant. Now, Allah the Exalted loves His servant. And one of the properties of love is jealousy. Jealousy is the translation of the term غيره in Arabic. So he is earnestly concerned about the heart of the servants, as he subhanahu wa ta'ala loves his servants to be sincere in his love for him. And he is really concerned about the servants not loving anyone other than him, and actually not letting other love enter the heart of the servant. It's been narrated that Prophet Moses, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alayhi wasalam, once called on Allah at the sacred valley, and he said, "O Lord, I have dedicated my love to you, and I have cleansed my heart of all other than you." And this was at the time when he used to extremely love his family.
رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ.
Then Allah the Blessed said to him, "If your love is purely for me, then take off from your heart the love of your family." This is one example among the instances of the jealousy of Allah for His servant, is that He removes love of others from His heart, such that if He were to find that His heart is attached to other than Him, He would take that love away from the servant, so that the heart of the servant may purely be for His love. In order to get closer to this concept, let us consider the supplication of Arafah. In a part of that supplication, Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, "You are the one who has removed love of others from the hearts of your lovers, such that they loved none but you. What has he found, one who has lost you? And what has he lost, one who has found you? Indeed, he who is pleased with other than you as a substitute has gone wrong." You may remember, dear listeners, that we mentioned in previous programs that Allah the Exalted has provided man with numerous receptacles for recognition, certainty, and sincerity, but the heart is the greatest of all of them and the most spacious of them. So this heart, when Allah purifies it for the servant, it will produce purified things and feelings as well.
I remember when I first met you.
Why do we make supplication?
And why do we call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it because God is not aware of our needs? God is Al-Alim. He knows all of our needs. Is it because God needs convincing? God is known as Al-Jawad. He is the source of generosity. Then why am I making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The dua is a journey of realizations. When a person goes to the ocean and he takes with him a bucket that can carry 4 liters of water, the ocean is infinite. In as much as your vessel is large, that is the amount of water that the ocean will give you. And therefore, our goal is to expand our capacity. Rumi has a very beautiful poem. He says, "Har khujo mushkil javab onjo ravad." Wherever there is a problem, that is where the answer will come. Har khujo kashti ab onjo ravad. Wherever there is a vessel, that's where the water will come. Ab kamju tishnagi avar bedas. Don't go seeking for water. Instead, create the thirst within you. Ta beju shad ab az. So that the water may burst forth from above and from below you. Experience that realization that you need God, and the mercy of God will come towards you.
Paradise, thank you Allah. Now that we're here, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true. And we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
If that which enters the heart is pure and clean, coming from pure and sweet spring, then that which flows out of it would be similar to that. And subsequently, the actions of the person, his speech, his stance, his behavior, and all of his feelings would all be pure and delightful. What I'm trying to say is that if we are meant to get closer to the Almighty Allah, using his love in our hearts, actually, we have to be really careful about what is entering our hearts. Imam Zain al-Abidin, in one of his prayers, says, "I ask you to join me to those for whom you have purified their drinking places, taken them to the objects of their desire, and filled their minds with your love, and quenched their thirst with your pure drink." And we have previously talked about this part of the supplication, and by pure drink, Imam alayhi salam is meaning the drink of love, certainty, sincerity, and actually recognition and ma'rifah, while the receptacle of all is the heart and qalb. We will inshallah continue talking about this concept in the later programs. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Our
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, dear brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and we're going to be with you with another edition of Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll discuss the 22nd chapter of the Holy Quran, Surah Al-Hajj, or Pilgrimage. Before moving on, let's just listen to some verses of this chapter, and we'll be back with you. Stay with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ عَاقَبَ بِهِ